Clever.
So please show up, and you can get the Facebook link on our webpage. Well, this is Ethan, your free-thinking historian, saying goodnight.
This is Don saying eyes open, minds on.
This is Rob, cognitive psychologist, saying you should check out the video of the coconut octopus. Just Google it on YouTube. You'll find it.
This is Daniel saying you should look at that video, too. It's actually pretty sweet.
Bye, everybody.
Have a good night.
The AIDS Vancouver Helpline is here to help. Open from 9 to 4, Monday to Friday, the helpline answers questions about HIV and safer sex. Call to find medical support in your area without giving your name. Run by volunteers, the helpline is one of many programs from AIDS Vancouver combating the HIV epidemic in the Lower Mainland. While not medical professionals, our volunteers answer your questions confidentially and anonymously. The helpline number is 604-696-4666 or contact us online at www.aidsvancouver.org.
And they're not giving me a damn thing for this.
Yeah, you don't give me your thing, one. You don't
yeah,
give
me. A spur of the moment one or one made up. Trailers
oh,
for sale are in.
I ain't got no cigarettes, but 2 hours of pushing rooms buys a 8 by 12 for bedroom. I'm a man. By no means king of the road. Third boxcar, midnight train, destination Bangor, Maine. Don't pay no union dues, I smoke stogies I have found. Short but not too big around, I'm a man of means, by no means king of the road. I know every engineer on every train, all of the children and all of their names, in every handout in every town. Every lock, it ain't locked when no one's around.
All the 2 hours of machine rooms by the 8 to 12 open rooms. I'm a man of means, by no means king of the road. King of the road. King of the
everybody, welcome to Weir's Barbecue here on 101.9 FM CITR Radio, Vancouver, Canada. With us on the line, you know, it's like I didn't do my homework properly, so I have to call you. That's really what it's like, you know?
No, Daryl. This is about us working together.
There you go.
Not just me against you.
Giulio Caravana from the BC Lions Radio Network, SFU alumni, helping out the UBC Sports Show. Giulio, before I move on, I played this song before you've come on before.
Yes.
Who are those two singers?
It's Johnny Cash, is it not?
Yeah. And who's the other guy?
The other guy I don't know.
It's the guy who sang King of the Road, Roger Miller.
Oh, there you go.
Ring a bell? Ding, ding?
Yeah, I know Roger Miller, yeah.
He's the guy that sang King of the Road. That's Johnny Cash and Roger Miller singing King of the Road on, I guess they had it, the Johnny Cash Show.
It must have been, because why would he include Johnny in it again? He must have gone on his Christmas special or something to let Johnny chirp in on it.
It was the Johnny Cash Show. It's actually a YouTube clip I was playing.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah, I actually saw the whole video, and yeah, okay. We'll move on. By the way, I bought a new bathrobe at the Bay today. I'm excited.
Did you?
Yeah. $20. Wow. $20. And it's,
well, you know what? I actually did some shopping myself today.
What'd you get?
And I went to StormTech. Have you ever been to StormTech and Champion? It's you know what StormTech jackets are.
I'll pretend I do.
Okay, well, they're a brand of you've heard of Champion athletic wear.
Yeah, sure. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, they had a big factory outlet sale today.
Ooh.
And I went and bought myself, like, you know, 6 items, and they were ridiculously cheap. So,
was this one of those you had to have like an invitation to get?
No. Anybody can go.
Attaboy,
yeah. No,
attaboy.
I got a couple of jackets for like $10 each.
Really? Hey.
Yes. Yeah. Very much worth your while.
Oh, wow.
If you're in need of a jacket.
Are you endorsing the store, Giulio?
No, I have no reason, although they did save me a lot of money today, so I will give them their due.
And I thought I did great with my $20 bathrobe, and here you are with $10 jackets. Once again, you one-up me, Julia. Once again, you one-up me.
I never tried to, though, Daryl. It's never my intent.
It's not hard. I'll say it. At the Bay today only, the Bay downtown, they've got these bathrobes, $20. Today only. And they even had a tag said, limit 3 per customer, which I thought was kind of funny.
They have women's stuff there?
Well, the bathrobes are good for men and women.
Well, I might have to. They haven't eaten pink?
I don't think so.
I hope you didn't buy one in pink.
No. Oh, okay. Brownish green, actually.
Yeah, well, that's always good, too, eh?
Yeah, I'm very happy with it. Very happy with it.
Are you going to wait till Christmas to open it, or are you just going to start wearing it?
I'm Jewish, Giulio. Hanukkah's going on as we speak.
That's right. I forgot.
Yeah.
Happy Hanukkah.
Thank you very much. Thank you. You Christmas people. I tell ya. No. There you go.
Good.
There you go. Giulio Caravana from the BC Lions Radio Network. Giulio, thanks so much for coming on. The reason I'm having you on today is the UBC head coaching position. You and I talked about it a couple weeks ago.
Uh-huh.
And UBC was supposed to be interviewing four candidates tomorrow, okay?
Yes.
That was the date. Apparently, one of the candidates could not get here in time, so they're delaying the whole process up to a month, which, you know, when I've thought about it and I've talked to some people, it sounds absolute. That's not a good thing, because these guys got to get their programs together, and, you know, there's people out there who have a job, and they got to figure out what they're doing with that job, and so that's going on. But, Julio, you believe, or you've heard, that Adam Rita is actually a candidate for this job?
Well, you know, I've heard through the grapevine that his name has come up. Now, whether or not he is part of that four, I don't know. I know that they've been pretty tight-lipped about that four.
Yep.
You know, I can pretty much guarantee that I know two people that are on that list, and that would one would be, you know, Sean Olson, and the other is Dino Jeremia. Everybody I think knew that. The mystery is the other two, and you know, Adam Rita, the reason I kind of have come to that conclusion, I'll give you why. One is that Bart Andrus was just fired in Toronto, and Adam Rita, who's the general manager and the VP of football operations, was not at that press conference. Which leads me to believe that he is not going to be back with the Toronto Argonauts next year. And I know that Adam has absolutely loves this part of the country. He absolutely, I think, is going to retire out here. And, you know, he has a strong connection to the University of British Columbia. And I think that he would be, you know, very, very interested in his job. And you know, needless to say, you know, Adam's football resume speaks for itself. Now, the other thing that it surprises me, Daryl, is that they're holding off a month in order to get all this stuff kind of put together. Because you're right, I think there is a lot of you know, people waiting on this, and a month down the road changes a lot of things for a lot of people. If you're Dave Johnson, what do you do at SFU? If you're planning that Sean Olson is going to be there, then you've got to move forward. If he's not going to be there, then you've got to make some adjustments. And you know, who are you going to go out to get as a coach? So I think there's a lot of ramifications. It surprises me, really surprises me, that if one guy couldn't make that interview, that they just didn't have another interview when he was available. But at least get rid of the three guys that you have, you know, waiting, I would imagine, you know, very anxiously for the interview, and let that happen, and then, you know, deal with the person who couldn't make it when they were able to make it. It surprises me a little bit that UBC would do that.
Well, Julio, I mean, what I find kind of interesting and kind of weird about this is, how hard is it to do an interview? Can they not do it over the phone or over a webcam? Or, I mean, we've got a lot of technology nowadays, you know?
Yeah, no, you're right. And the thing is, though, too, like, you know, why is it that this person needs a month?
Well, I don't know if it's going to be a month, but it's definitely going to be in January. So
after the Christmas holidays, it kind of makes sense, but... it's one of those things that that you would want to get you know, out of the way as quickly as possible, because, you know, it you're right, in college it's about recruiting, right? And you know, you want to give the person as much time to get his feet, you know, on the ground and going forward with the recruiting, because that's a big part of what you're doing. And now what you've done essentially is you're giving Dave Johnson, you know, a month and a half, I think, head start on what's happening at UBC, because you know, you look at a high school kid who wants to commit and wants to get this thing over with, because, you know, I'm sure that the recruiting process and everything for them is, you know, heating up, that they want to make a decision. Well, they're not going to make a decision on a school that has no head coach. So, you know, it's obviously got to be, you know, a person with a lot of high profile for them to delay it.
Sticking with SFU, and you know, this is where Sean Olson sort of comes into the equation, Julio. You're obviously are familiar with this program. I know you're in contact with those guys. How much pressure does this now put on Dave Johnson and Sean Olson and that coaching staff? Because Sean Olson, they got to go another 3 weeks at least now without knowing who their offensive coordinator is going to be next year. How much pressure, especially a team that's going to be new into the NCAA next year? I mean, that's a tough spot there, isn't it?
Yeah, no, you're right. And it's something that, you know, Dave obviously wants to, you know, to get done with. You know, I know that, you know, he you know, thinks the world of Sean Olson. He's a great young coach. And whatever, you know, Sean decides to do, you know, Dave is going to support 100%. He's just going to have to move on. But that's the question, right? Now you're talking about another month of, you know, and do you want to... You know, it's a really weird situation because if you're Sean Olson and you're thinking, okay, well, I might be the head coach at UBC. I kind of like this guy. We're recruiting him pretty hard. You know, there's a real conflict there, isn't there?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, so you know, it's not good for anybody involved that this delay has happened because now it's just gonna, you know, prolong things and add a few more wrinkles along the way, and it'll all iron itself out. But at the same time, the people involved, you know, what about Dino Jeremia?
Exactly,
You know, Dino's a very, very good friend of mine. I've known Dino a long time. I know he's a great coach. He's a great guy. He's a great teacher. But what about him? You know, he's a guy that sits there and waits. And again, putting his life on hold for another month. And that's a tough way to, you know, to live over the holidays, is to wonder whether or not you're going to have a job or where your future is going to be, you know, in the coming year.
Well, it also puts him in a situation where if he doesn't work out with the new guy coming at UBC, he's missing valuable time to go get another gig right now.
That's exactly right. Yeah. No, you're right. You know, I don't know if you've is it Phillips who's the
Bob Phillips? Yeah, Bob Phillips.
Yeah. Have you talked to him?
I talked to him today, and he basically said we have to get this right. And there was a candidate that couldn't get in here. There was a member of our hiring committee who there's a panel of about seven of them who couldn't be here for it, and they're delaying it till an undetermined date in the new year. They're going to decide that date tomorrow. And, you know, at first I thought, okay, no big deal. But then I started calling around and talking to people. And apparently this isn't a good thing for recruiting, people trying to figure out what they're doing, everything, you know.
Yeah, so. Well, everything. You're right. And here's another part, too, that you have to add in is, you know, anybody that is applying and you know, whether, you know, if it's an offensive coordinator who's applying because he thinks that, you know, Sean Olson's going to be gone, and you know, that's just the way business works, right? If you think there's a guy who's going to be a head coach somewhere else, and you've got to start looking around and you know, trying to fill that spot, and now you've got people calling you wondering whether or not that spot's available, well, now you have to phone them and say, well, listen, I'm not going to be able to make a choice for another month. Well, if you're that person who wants to apply, do they wait the month and think, okay, well, I'll roll the dice, or are you looking somewhere else?
Yeah, no
kidding. Right? So, you know, you may lose out on some good people because they're going to say, listen, I ain't waiting. I've got an offer on the table right now. Would I like to coach at SFU and be the offensive coordinator? Absolutely. But I'm not waiting for a what if. And then, you know, here's the other thing too, Daryl, is that we could both be very, very naive and think that, you know, this is still up in the air. But for all we know, this thing can be done and put to bed, and we're just all just, you know, you know, guessing now as to, you know what this could do, or what this thing might be a done deal for all we know.
It could be Adam Rita at this point for all we know.
Yeah, that's right. It could be Adam Rita, or it could be Sean Olson done, right? And they already know, but they're just trying to keep it, you know, in the public side. They're saying, well, you know, this is what we're doing. Like, I just don't know whether or not, like, if you're Sean Olson, are you going to roll that dice and wait?
You're familiar. I mean, Julie, I just want to go back to this one more time. You are familiar. This does really put a little bit of strain on SFU football for the next 3 weeks to a month, doesn't it?
Well, yeah. Well, if you think about it, if you're Dave Johnson, are you going to be spilling your guts to Sean Olson?
Yeah. It's tough, isn't it?
It is tough. But here's the other thing. It's also football. right? And this is the nature of the beast. And again, this is the kind of thing that happens every single year to a lot of football coaches right across Canada and right across the United States. And so you know you have to make the best of the situation. The situation is what it is, and I'm sure Dino Jeremiah is not going to walk away because of this. He wants an opportunity to be a head coach, as does Sean Olsen, and as do the other two members that are on this on the hiring or that are going to be interviewed by the hiring committee. They also want that opportunity, so they're going to wait and play it out, and hopefully it's going to work out for one of them.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, it's not going to work out for the three others.
Last thing, Julio, Adam Rita. You think he'd do a great job here? Your thoughts? You've known this guy for a long time.
Yeah.
Your thoughts on Adam Rita?
Well, you know, I mean, I know Adam knows the game, you know, he's coached a lot of great players, and you know, he's got a lot of experience at the pro level. And I know he coached 1 year, if I'm not mistaken. Actually, I think he coached the year that I was at SFU, and he was at UBC because he was a defense coordinator 1 year there, was he not?
I'm not. That was before my time.
Yeah, yeah. I think he was. I think it might have been like 88,
yep.
If I'm not mistaken. But anyways, you know, he's got some history there. The only thing that it's difficult, and again, college is not pro.
Yeah,
Daryl. It's the reality is you're going to have to go out and recruit, right? And you're going to have to recruit BC, and you're going to have to recruit across the country. And if you don't know, you know where to go, who to see, and that stuff takes some time, right? And it's not like Adam's going to have any problems doing that, but it does take a little bit of time. So you know, if you have someone in place earlier, they can figure out that as quickly as possible and hire people that may be familiar with the program and around BC to help you out. But the other thing is that you know, it's going to take a little while for him to get his feet underneath. Whereas opposed to Sean Olsen, he's been here for the last, you know, how many years, understands the climate and the conditions of high school football here and where you need to recruit, and that's already, you know, a process that he's been doing for the last three or four years, right? So, you know, there's pros and cons to it, but Adam, again, his football resume speaks for itself, and he would be a good hire.
Last one with Adam Rita is, you know, UBC might be NCAA Division II within, say, 2 years here. Does Adam Rita have any U.S. football coaching experience?
I don't know, actually. That's a good question. But, again, I think football is football,
yeah.
And you know, it wouldn't be that big a transition for Adam. I don't think it'd be, you know, it would be make a little of an adjustment for, you know, for coaches, but it's not something that if you're a coach at that level, it's not something you can't, you know, overcome.
Right.
And you know, and make, you know, the proper adjustments. But, you know, it's going to be really interesting because, as I said to you before, Daryl, this is a high profile job. And obviously, Bob Phillips, the sports director there, or the athletic director, excuse me, understands the importance of this next hire and where this program is going in the next few years, and they want to make it right. And you can't criticize them for that.
Yeah, I just hope they're not shooting themselves in the foot here, Julio, delaying it for about 3 weeks, and maybe they've done something they're going to regret. That's all.
Well, and then here's the other thing, too, though. Like, if you're going to delay it for another 3 or 4 weeks, does that not maybe include some more guys?
Well, that's what I've also heard. They might hire it. They might interview a couple more. I've heard that too. Yeah.
Yeah. You know, you would think that the longer you put this off, that, you know, the more the word gets out there that you're gonna, you know, that you may start getting some more guys interested. So.
Okay.
Yeah.
We'll see. I was getting ready to interview Sean Olsen as the new coach next week, but.
You might have to put that off for a couple of weeks.
If we don't know what... I now don't know what's going on, Julio. I'll say it at that. Awesome. Julio, thank you so much. Very much appreciated.
Hey, no problem, buddy. Anytime.
Okay, remember...
I look forward to the phone call when it happens.
There you go. I remember, Julio, Roger Miller, King of the Road.
Roger Miller, King of the Road.
See, I taught you something today.
You did. You always teach me something.
Not quite. Awesome. Julio Caravana. Julio, thanks as always.
See you, buddy.
Okay, that was Julio Caravato of the BC Lions Radio Network. We're going to be getting into more UBC Thunderbird head coach football talk as the show goes on here. Our very own CITR Sports contributor, Jeff Sargent, is going to be with us. Yeah, it was one of those things today where, you know, you hear UBC's delaying it for 3 weeks and 4 weeks, and I originally thought it wasn't a big deal, and then I started to talk to people, and, you know, they hired Lou Delorier, I believe it was in March, you know, back in something like 2003, 2004. That was a disaster for recruiting. Kids are getting recruited right now, and just the strain. You know, Gino Jeremia, the defensive coordinator here, what's he thinking right now as this is delayed? SFU football, you heard Julio say it. He's got inside knowledge of that program. Dave Johnson, Sean Olson recruiting together. Sean Olson, one of the four guys. That's what everybody's saying. All right, UBC, you better make this hiring right, Bob Phillip and Teresa Hansen. I hope you're doing the right thing here. All right, we're going to take a break. We're going to get into UBC Thunderbird men's hockey. Head coach of that team, Milan Dragicevic, is going to be with us. You're listening to 101.9 FM, CITR Radio, Vancouver, Canada.
Well, the party is off to a good start. Guests are on time. Everyone's out to have fun and to help others fun.
What's the matter? Doesn't that sound exciting to you?
UBC students have an alternative. Looking to unwind? Check out one of the sub's two licensed establishments.
The Gallery Lounge is your location for a wide variety of draft beers at student-friendly prices. Come to the gallery for a relaxed atmosphere and great food, including the famous pizza pretzel. Fellow students provide the entertainment with weekly open mic and karaoke nights. The gallery is located on the main concourse of the sub and open Monday through Saturday till 1 a.m. This business is owned and operated by the AMS, your student society. All the things you've been seeing, guess you better find
your way back home. All right, everybody, welcome back to Winner's Barbecue here on 101.9 FM, CITR Radio, Vancouver, Canada. With us on the line, a team that does have a head coach, the UBC Thunderbird men's hockey team. Coach Milan Dragicevic with us. Coach, the reason I say that is I'm sure you're aware of the UBC Thunderbird men's coaching football hire, and they've delayed the process for about 3 weeks. So I'm a little disappointed. I don't know what you think, but I'm a little disappointed.
You're disappointed the fact that they're not going to hire someone for 3 weeks?
Well, they were supposed to do the interviews tomorrow, and they've delayed that for 3 weeks, apparently.
Oh, you know what? There's probably circumstances, and I'm sure they have their explanations and reasons why.
I heard those explanations, Coach. I heard them.
Well, they got to make sure that they do due diligence and make sure that they get the right people to apply for the job.
There you go. Milan Dragicevic, head coach, UBC Thunderbird men's hockey team with us. Coach, just from perspective, you know, I was talking football there, but in hockey, you know, obviously former coach of the Vancouver Giants, and then you moved over here to UBC. How hard is it to go through as a head coach that whole interviewing process, waiting to see what's going on? How hard is it to do that?
Difficult, but this is our life, and when we decided that we're going to become coaches or assistant coaches, we knew, you know, our job is basically depending on wins and losses, and that's the reality of it. It's not an easy situation, especially if you got kids and a family, and you got to move, and different aspects of your life, you know, have to get rearranged. But that's just part of it. And I never want to see any coach get fired, but we understand that's the nature of the business, and those things happen.
Yeah, because it is one thing though, really outside of the football department, especially since you've joined the UBC coaching ranks. A lot of stability on this campus, hey?
Well, there's been more stability, and I give that credit to, you know, to Bob Phillip and Teresa Hansen. Obviously, you know, many years ago when I got hired, they decided to go with, you know, a lot younger staff and give more people, you know, the freedom to coach and almost be like a coach GM kind of thing. And I think that's important. And that way you got players and you can recruit players. And Bob has shown so much confidence in everybody to let them do their jobs. And as coaches, we appreciate that.
Milan Dragicevic, head coach, UBC men's hockey team with us right now. Coach, give us your thoughts on the first half of the season. Coach, it started so promising, 3-0-1 after your first four games. And then you went, of course, on that real tough losing streak. Just before the Christmas break, you end up splitting with Calgary. You obviously needed that sweep there. You didn't get it. Your thoughts on where this team is sitting right now? 5-10-1 after 16 games. You got 12 games to go. 8 points out of the fourth and final playoff spot.
wow, you know, we've dug ourselves a little bit of a hole. We're definitely not happy with the situation. And, you know, we started off well, and, you know, we've talked every week, you know, what's happening with our hockey team, and you know better than everybody. But there's a couple things that really stick out. Yeah, we had a good start, and then we went to Lethbridge, and, you know, we definitely should have got a split in Lethbridge, and we didn't, and that's where the ball started rolling the other way. And sometimes it's difficult, you know, losing is contagious. And we found that disease in us when we started losing 5, 6, 7, 8 in a row. And, you know, the last couple of weeks we slowly turned around the other way, beating Lethbridge and then beating Calgary, and probably our best game of the season on Friday. And then you know, we didn't play overly great on the Saturday. And that's kind of been our hockey team. You know, when our goaltenders play well, we don't score. And when we score, our goaltenders, you know, haven't been there. So it's just a combination of a lot of things.
Yeah, tell us about the play of the goalie, Jordan White. He, of course, started several games for you guys right before the break. Frankie Tuat injured. And your thoughts of the way Jordan White played? I thought he played very well in that Friday night win versus Calgary just before the break.
Yeah, you know what? Jordan White has not cost us any games. He's been very solid for us. Our guys have a lot of confidence in him. As a coach, I have a lot of confidence in Jordan White. He's a little bit different than Frankie because he's bigger and he covers a little bit more of the net because of his size. You know, he's 6'1", 190 pounds, so he is a bigger goalie. He's also very athletic, and I have no problems putting him in. And, you know, our goaltending is going to be up for the job. Is for someone to come in and start winning some games, and he's going to be the number one guy.
So Frankie Tuat not guaranteed the starting role when the new year comes around.
Well, you know, it's a situation of we need a goalie to step up, and both of these guys know it. And no one's guaranteed a number one job. They're going to have to earn it. We have two exhibition games against McGill, January 2nd and the 3rd, and both of those goalies will get the opportunity. And whoever plays well and wins is the guy that's going to get the next start. And, you know, we need goalies to step up and win games for us. And, you know, other teams that we're playing, we're out shooting and we're out chancing, and their goalies are standing on their head, and we need a goalie to do that for us.
Coach, in years past, you've been decimated by injuries to the point where defensemen have had to play forward. It was the opposite here on the final Friday night game before the break versus Calgary. The defensemen went down. You were playing with four defensemen for that game by the end of it. Clayton Bauer had to come in as a forward and pitch in on defense. The guys grinded through it that night, but injury status for this defense corps right now.
Well, Nick Duff is done. He ACL. He had a surgery last week. Completely tore his ACL. He's done for 6 months, we're not sure with his status. If he's going to come back for a 50 or not. He is going to graduate, but you know, right now we should be healthy after Christmas. We're not still waiting on Max Grassi once again. Knee situation. Frankie Tuat, knee situation as well. So, you know, these guys are getting checked out by the doctors and specialists, and we'll have an answer probably in the next couple of weeks to see what our situation is.
Keith Vojtěchuk, we've heard a lot about this guy over the last couple of years. Finally got into a couple games versus Calgary before the break. Missed the whole season up to that point with a hip injury. Your assessment, he didn't get any points that weekend. Your assessment of his play in that weekend, and is he somebody you're going to be looking to really step it up in the new year? Told this guy's very talented offensively.
Yeah, Keith unquestionably is probably one of our most talented players. He's also one of our most fastest players, and he's also, you know, has one of the best shots in the hockey team, and that's a lot to say because he's just been practicing with us, and he can play a first-line player. Like, that's his role. He should do that. We're looking for left wingers that can score and skate. He does that. You know, unfortunately, he went to London, Ontario last week to see a specialist to see, you know, what his situation is, to get more tests done by specialty doctors. And we're waiting for those results back next week. And once we get them, we're going to find out to see if he needs surgery or if he can continue playing and practicing or if the season is done with us.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah. So we'll get more answers next week.
There you go. And Tyler Rule, just before the break, had a hat trick in the game on the Friday, had your one goal on the Saturday. He had one goal coming into that weekend in 14 games. Big weekend for that player.
Well, you know, we've been waiting for certain individuals to step up. He's one guy that we've been waiting for. You know, like you said, he had one goal in 14 games, and he had lots of power play chances, and he was first-line player for us. And, you know, your first-line guys can't have one or two goals if they get that much power play time. And, And, you know, he's one guy that, that took it to heart and to his credit, stayed out after practice and took a lot of shots and made the goalies work and really worked on skill development, and it's paid off. And, you know, right now he's got 14 points in 16 games and is leading our team in points. And you know, good for him. He did get four goals, and he was a big factor why we won Friday night.
Milan Dragons have a head coach, UBC Hockey. Coach, one question on one topic, and I won't bring it up until after your season is over this year. There's, of course, all this talk that UBC's going NCAA, and where you're in almost a tough situation as a coach, and especially as a recruiter, is all these players with junior hockey experience are not eligible to play in the NCAA. Is this hurting your recruiting? It has to be.
Well, you know, it's been a topic of conversation, honestly, for the last couple of years. But, you know, we tell the players it's business as usual. We're recruiting major junior players right now. You know, we have the OHL, the Western Hockey League list, and you know, we're telling those guys it's business as usual until Bob Phillip and you know, UBC Athletics tells us different. So, you know, the bottom line for us is until they decide that they are going to apply to the NCAA, we're still recruiting those players. Nothing's changed for us. You know, we're still bringing in players that can help us. And if June 10th and Bob says, you know what, we can't recruit those players, then we'll change the direction and try to bring in different players.
Right, but it's definitely coming up with these players. It has to be when they talk to you.
Yes, no question, because everyone's familiar with it from the Western Hockey League, from the Canadian Major Junior Hockey League. It's been in the news, obviously, and yeah, players are asking. It's a little bit of a topic in our dressing room. And, you know, it's, yeah, we're put in a tough spot, but like I said, it's business as usual, and until we were told otherwise, we still keep doing our job.
It is a tough spot. I mean, I'm watching it. It is a tough spot. You're grinding through a coach. Milan Dragicevic, head coach, UBC Thunderbird men's hockey team. Coach, thanks so much for doing it. You're skating with your daughter right now. Is that what we're doing?
Yeah. I'm on the ice helping my 6-year-old daughter, and it's a big break working with the adults that we have. But you know what? These girls, they work hard and they want to learn, and they're 67 years old, and it's a lot of fun.
Even when you're talking 6 and 7, you're still talking like a coach there.
You have to.
Thanks a lot for doing this, Milan, and Merry Christmas and Happy New Year.
Thank you so much. Take care. Bye-bye.
All right, that was Milan Dragicevic, head coach, UBC Thunderbird men's hockey team. Great to have him on. A bit of a tough first half, but, and you know, Coach hasn't told me this, but we as we've been sort of following this team, you can really see it's tough to recruit for that hockey team, more so than any other team here on this campus right now, because this is a league, CIS hockey, where the majority of the players, if not 80 to 90% of the players, come from the junior hockey leagues. And within 2 years, it is possible that UBC, next year they're CIS, but after that year, they might be NCAA for all we know. And it's simple. If you've played junior hockey, you're ineligible for NCAA. There's a little, I shouldn't say it's totally simple, there's a little bit thing here and there, but not much give at all. And, you know, you're a kid coming out from the junior ranks, and Alberta's calling and UBC's calling, and you know that if I go to Alberta, I've got a 5-year commitment from that program. If I go to UBC, through no fault of their own, coach isn't trying to pull a fast one on me, but after 1 year, I might not be able to play here anymore. That puts the coach in a tough spot. All right, we're going to take a break. When we're back, we're going to get back into the UBC Thunderbird head coaching position. They have delayed the interview process until the new year. I talked with Bob Phillip earlier on in the day, and apparently the word is one of the coaches could not be here for the interview process tomorrow. So they have now delayed it until the new year. I was talking to people. Julio Caravata came on with me, and the word I'm getting, that's not such a good thing, because they are losing out on recruits right now. They are putting, I mean, the one that Julio brought up, very interesting, Sean Olson and SFU, the you heard Julio say it, the stray that's going to put on Dave Johnson and Sean Olson there. Dino Jeremia, what's he thinking right now at UBC? I mean, this thing is just dragging on right now. And, you know, I don't know. We're going to hear from Teresa Hansen from UBC, her and Bob Phillip really heading this committee. She's going to tell us everybody who's in this committee and the reason officially why UBC pushed it back. The reason is one of the coaches couldn't make it for the interview process tomorrow. And reason two, one of the people from the hiring committee couldn't be here tomorrow. Julio thinks, you know, we're just our educated guess, Adam Rita couldn't be here tomorrow. That is the educated guess. And he wasn't at the press conference when the Toronto Argonauts head coach got fired. So I've been saying all along, I think it's Sean Olson here. I've been saying that all along. Now, is it time to change that bet and put some money on Adam Rita? I don't know. The plot thickens here to find out who the next head coach is at UBC. And more recruits every day start signing elsewhere. Hope you're making the right call, guys. They didn't with Lou Deloria. They put him in a big hole. So we'll find out. All right. You're listening to 101.9 FM, CITR Radio, Vancouver, Canada.
Well, the party is off to a good start. Guests are on time. Everyone's out to have fun and to help others fun.
What's the matter? Doesn't that sound exciting to you?
UBC students have an alternative. Looking to unwind? Check out one of the sub's two licensed establishments.
The Gallery Lounge is your location for a wide variety of draft beers at student-friendly prices. Come to the gallery for a relaxed atmosphere and great food, including the famous pizza pretzel. Fellow students provide the entertainment with weekly open mic and karaoke nights. The gallery is located on the main concourse of the sub and open Monday through Saturday till 1 a.m. This business is owned and operated by the AMS, your student society. All the things you've been seeing, guess you better find
your way back home. We are now going to practice our continental way of eating. We pick up our silverware, index finger in the back of the fork, index finger on top of the knife.
What's the matter? Doesn't that sound exciting to you?
Luckily, dining at the sub is a little less formal.
Come to the Moon Noodle Bar, located in the lower level of the sub, for fast and friendly service. We serve up spring rolls, combos, chicken wings, rice bowls, and made-to-order stir fries, Monday through Friday, 11 a.m. till 7 p.m. This business is owned and operated by the AMS, your student society. Sha-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la.
Right to Play is an international humanitarian organization using sport and play programs to encourage the healthy physical, social, and emotional development of the world's most disadvantaged children. RTP at UBC is run by a team of committed university students who advocate sport for development, and it is the first university chapter of its kind. We want you to get involved. Together, we can educate students about sport for development, help raise money, and teach children here in the Lower Mainland about the importance of sport and a healthy lifestyle. So check us out at www.interchange.ubc.ca/RTPUBC.
Can I ask you to do a real quick station ID?
Sure. Hi, this is Olympian. No, I was kidding. This is your man who has a gold medal in stupidity. Daryl, was it Weiner?
Wiener.
Wiener. From 101.9 CITR?
Radio.
Radio. Just CITR.
Yeah, that's cool.
Okay. You ready?
Yeah.
Hi, this is Daryl Torres. You're listening to a man who has a gold medal in stupidity. Daryl Wiener. Sorry, let me do it again. Wiener.
That's cool.
Yeah. Sure.
Wiener, like the hot dog.
Wiener, okay. Hi, this is Daryl Torres. You're listening to a man who has a gold medal in stupidity. Daryl Wiener of 101.9 CTIR, OCITR 321. Hi, this is Dara Torres. You're listening to a man who has a gold medal in stupidity. Dara Wiener on 101.9 CITR.
Oh, hi, everybody. Welcome back to Wiener's Barbecue on 101.9 FM CITR. Dara Torres there as Jeff Sargent is joining us online. Jeff, remember her, the swimmer?
Yeah, I love that. That idea is so good.
You like that one, eh? She was in the news today.
Oh, really?
Yeah, with the, you heard about the Tiger Woods doctor who's facing the drug charges?
No, I haven't heard this latest one.
Yeah, it came out today. Anthony Galea, okay, claims to have visited Tiger Woods' home in Florida on at least four occasions this year to administer a blood treatment for his knee, okay, which nobody's claiming is illegal. However, right, that same doctor a month ago was caught at the Canadian-U.S. border with doping crap in his luggage.
Ugh. It's just getting so much better for Tiger.
He was also Derek Torres' doctor for some stuff.
Oh, okay.
That's where I tied it
There's
all together.
The
there you go.
Okay.
Now he's not saying this is, and Tiger's camp is the nine that this guy ever treated Tiger, and this guy's not saying he drugged Tiger or anything, but, you know, mm-hmm. it just, you know what it is with Tiger? It's the veneers off now. He's open season to everybody now, hey?
Well, he's the target for everything now. I mean,
yeah.
Geez, who knows what's next?
The problem is it was just so damn juicy to follow.
It was, but now who really cares anymore?
Oh, I do. I was turned on ESPN. I turned on the video of the ESPN report of this one today.
Ugh.
No, I'm low.
Well, I mean, it's out there, so
yeah.
I guess you got to watch it.
It's no, but I not only do I have, I'm like searching it out, you know.
You really need to find better things to do.
There you go. With us, Jeff Sargent from our CITR sports department. Jeff, we're going to hear from Teresa Hansen from UBC. I talked to her earlier on in the day. And, you know, Jeff, this is a thing where we're going back to the UBC Thunderbird football head coaching position. Now, this might not turn out to be a big deal at all in the end. I mean, that is true. But, you know, it was one of those things where I talked to Bob Phillip earlier in the day and I talked to Teresa Hansen, and they told me they're delaying the interview process until January. It was supposed to be tomorrow. So you got to figure, we're already middle December. You got to figure it's at least 3 weeks, right? Minimum.
Right.
Minimum. Because one of the candidates couldn't be here tomorrow. And then I started calling around and talking to people, and you heard Julio Caravata was on. You didn't, but, you know, he was on with me earlier in the day. It's not necessarily a good thing at all that they're doing this. They're currently losing out on recruits as we speak. You know, we thought it was a done deal that Sean Olson was the guy. Obviously, that's not true anymore, because why else would they be delaying it? Sean Olson, my understanding was, could be at that interview tomorrow. But the other one, I mean, you know, Julio said it is, you know, it's real interesting. These coaches are now sitting ducks, and they don't know what they're going to do. And the big one, though, is it really does, you know, and I know UBC has to get their ship in order, but it really does put a strain on SFU football. And I found that one very interesting.
Well, that's true. I mean, is Sean going to be returning there? If so, you know, he's got to have to get to work here soon. You mentioned there, UBC's already losing out on recruits, and Simon Fraser's got so much work ahead of them with regards to changing leads, etc. You know, you'd have to think if Sean Olson is he going? Is he staying? You know, there's a lot of work to be done, and can they wait? You know, can they wait for him to make a decision? It's just, it really does throw a whole wrench into this, and it's something that I thought that Bob Phillip had even mentioned they wanted to get this done sooner than they did. I think it was with Lou Delorey, where they waited until January, and I guess we're looking at that again.
It was March with Delorey, and that was a complete disaster.
Well, that is far too late, and I wouldn't expect that this time.
Well, we're already going to be into January, though. I mean, my point is, and I talked to Jill, and this is what I can't understand, Jeff, is, A, one of the reasons is one of the guys doing the interview couldn't be here. Well, come on. Does he really have to be? You know,
does he have to be physically present?
Well, there's seven people doing the interviewing process. I mean, if the guy can't make it, don't put him on the panel, you know? And
well,
then,
you can always pick up a phone, too.
Well, that's it. Or there's video monitors now. There's webcams now. I mean,
we have technology.
They do. We have the technology. I mean, maybe I'm being a little hard on them here, Jeff. At first I literally thought this isn't a real anything story. But then I started calling around and talking to some football people today, and apparently this is a story. What does this do to Dino Jeremiah? He doesn't know what's going on. He's the acting head coach. He can't do anything right now. It puts him into a situation where, you know, can I go get another job, or, you know, am I going to like the situation here? I don't know. I'm worried that this is actually going to come back and bite UBC in the butt in the end.
It really could. Well, obviously, the longer they wait, the harder it's going to be for whoever the eventual job goes to. You know, they've already lost all of that time. And as you mentioned, there are all these other people that have to move on with their lives, whether it's staying with UBC or staying at SFU or finding a job somewhere else. Absolutely, there's a lot of people that are in limbo. And you're right, if they don't get this done this week, which they won't, then it's going to wait until January. And then if they don't get it done in January, well, we all know what's happening in February. And, you know, it's just going to keep going.
Yeah, well, that thing, right?
That big thing. There's some big event going on.
I'm gonna have, the reason why I'm gonna have less parking spots to put my car downtown, right?
That's right. Yeah.
That thing. Oh, and the light show that's gonna keep me up at night.
Oh, that's right. You live downtown, don't you?
I do, but you know what? I spit on those people that are complaining about that. I'm kind of excited for it. And you know what? If it's keeping you up, it's called closing the blinds, people.
That's true.
I'm excited for a light show every night for 2 weeks. And I'm excited when I wake up hungover at 5 in the morning. Hey, there's a light show going on. You know.
Well, it's an added benefit, I suppose.
It's an added benefit. Jeff, what do you think, though? I mean, this might be a nothing topic right now, but this is going to be something to watch, isn't it?
Well, it is. And I don't think it's a nothing topic simply because it is delaying the process, which I believe the school insisted they weren't going to do.
Yeah.
You know, you think that they'd learned from their past, you know, you could call it a mistake, which it was. I mean, you can't wait until March to hire a head coach, period. And, you know, they wanted to get this done before the end of the calendar year. Now that's not happening. So I don't know what's going on. It is very confusing to me and to many people. But
all right. Cool. Thanks, Jeff. Stay around, Jeff. You can stick around here. We're going to play the Teresa Hansen interview right now.
Okay.
I did with her earlier in the day. Here I am with Teresa Hansen, I don't even know what this means, the Associate Director, Intercollegiate and High School Performance Art. Performance Sport.
You got it.
What does that mean?
That means basically I'm responsible for all varsity sport at UBC.
Okay.
So all our 29 varsity teams are in my portfolio.
All right, because you got to understand where I'm coming from. I read that, and you know, it's very long. There's a comma involved.
Maybe the shorter word should just be Associate Director of Varsity Sport. Would that make it a little clearer?
That really would, but you do have that cool and symbol in your title next to intercollegiate and high. You don't have and. You have the, you know, the...
Right. A little ampersand and.
Yeah, I like that. I like that. Teresa, you are a part of the hiring committee for the next UBC Thunderbird football coach. And what I was told is you're going to be actually doing the interviews. You had it down to 4 people, and you're going to actually be doing the interviews tomorrow, being the Wednesday, but it's actually being pushed back to the new year. What's going on here?
Well, a couple of logistical challenges actually came our way very last minute, and we felt that it was just in the best interest of the whole process to reschedule it to January.
What do you mean by logistical challenges? I actually heard that one of the person who's nominated couldn't get here.
That's correct, and as well as someone on the committee as well had to change plans at the last minute. So we are still going to meet as a partial committee tomorrow and discuss some things, but we just felt we want to do this right. We have a great opportunity right now to do this right, and we felt the best interest would be to postpone it until January or reschedule it in early January. So we did call those candidates that were shortlisted and let them know that. And in addition, like I said, we'll be meeting again tomorrow, and there may be a couple other candidates that will be shortlisted as well.
Well, yeah, I've heard that also. You have your 4, but it may be 5, and now I'm hearing you may even have 6 people interviewing in January?
Well, that's part of the logistics, Daryl, that you know, we wanted to do this as quickly as we could, obviously, right? We need to get a head coach in place as quick as we can. But given the timeline and everything, it really presented some, even since the last time you and I talked, they just presented some challenges that we just couldn't quite get everything ready to go for tomorrow. So that's why it was just today that Bob and I decided to reschedule it in January.
Do we have a date in January?
Not yet, and that's something that we will be deciding tomorrow, actually, because we do have some committee members that are on the committee that are from out of town. That'll be here, and we will have that date hopefully by the end of our meeting tomorrow.
Talking to you guys, you're not going to tell me who the coaches nominated are.
Correct.
Okay,
can't
so
do
I'll,
that. Yeah.
I'll have to go find that out on my own. But who's on your committee? Can you tell me that?
I can, actually. We've got both Bob Phillip and I on the committee. We've got three alumni on our committee and then one student athlete, one football athlete, actually, on the committee. There's six of us in total.
Who are the alumni and who's the athlete?
Doug Mitchell.
Yep.
Doug, who we all know. David Sadu. Nathan Milo, who is he played football in 97. And then David Boyd.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah, so that's our committee. And the committee will stay the same, obviously, in January. And like I said, we will choose that date accordingly to everybody's schedules.
All right, so that was Teresa Hansen with me earlier in the day. You know, Jeff, you hear her talking. Everything she says does make sense. It's just you wonder what's going to happen in the next 3 weeks to a month and if they're going to lose out on some things. That's really the question I have.
Yeah, I mean, there's nothing underhanded here or anything, that's for sure. It does make sense, but it does throw, as I said before, it does throw a wrench into the whole thing and makes it all very interesting. I mean, logistical problems, I don't know if she listed all of them there for you, but, you know, are there more candidates available now than there were before?
Yeah.
You know, have new names surfaced that recently have been let go from other positions. Who knows? You know, who knows what that means? I just find it hard to believe that you need every single person to actually physically sit down in a room, especially if you have people from out of town. That's going to make it even more difficult in the future. I just don't know about that. I don't. It sounds very strange to me.
I find the one I don't like is the fact that the committee member couldn't be there. Then don't be on the committee. I don't know. It's going to be interesting. Maybe we'll find out after is who was this head coach or who was this nominee after, you know, that was the reason this whole thing was delayed. You wonder, do you think anything's going on here? I don't know.
What do you mean?
I don't know. You wonder if, you know, I was talking to Julio before and he mentioned it as maybe it is a done deal with somebody else. You know, I was told Sean Olson could be there tomorrow, so it's not him. Dino Jeremia is another nominee. Julio thinks it's Adam Reed, and at this point, you wonder if that's where they're going. I don't know. Maybe I'm getting way ahead of myself here, but
well, it could be Adam Reed. He was mentioned before, and now the whole issue with the Argonauts. Bart Andrus let go yesterday. Reed was not at the press conference. Interesting.
Yeah.
You know, and I know Julia had touched on that. So maybe he is a name, as I suggested, that has now come available. I mean, the Argos have not released him. There's no, you know, he's still on staff of the Toronto Argonauts, so we can't really say that. But who knows? I mean, the simple fact that they are delaying this when they were so insistent before that they were going to get this done in a timely manner, you know, it leaves it open to a wide range of possibilities.
Yeah, no, and, talking to the people I did today, they said in the States, this takes about a week. Like, look at the head coach of Notre Dame. The guy's got a bloody BCS bowl game with Cincinnati. He's dropped that job. He's now the head coach of Notre Dame. That took, I don't even know if that took a full week. Time, apparently, with head coaches is of such the essence in the game of football because of the recruiting and getting everything in order. And, you know, UBC, the reason I'm worried, they've done this before, and here they are. You know, I was told 4 to 5 weeks, this is what they were going to take, was really of the long end of keeping it in the reasonable time. They have now gone past that with this last delay. That's
right.
What I've been told from talking to people.
And you heard Teresa Hansen mention they want to do this right, and, you know, that of course they do, and I think they have learned from mistakes made in the past. But does not doing it right include doing it in a timely fashion?
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. I don't know, Jeff. We've got this story still here. I thought it was going to be over. I was getting ready to interview Sean Olson on this show next week.
Well, you might have to wait.
It might not happen anymore. It might not happen anymore. Jeff Sargent, Jeff, thanks so much for doing this today.
No problem.
Very much appreciate it. Are you back here doing stuff with us in the new year? Yeah.
I'll be down a couple times in the new year. I'm up in Terrace right now. So
there you go. And any good Christmas holiday shopping things you gotten done yet?
Shopping?
Yeah, like any deals? You bought something you're happy about?
Yeah, I've got most of my shopping done already.
For you, Jeff. For you.
Oh, what do I want?
No, have you bought yourself anything? at like the store, like with the deals right now? Have you done any of that yet?
No, not really. I think I'll be down for Christmas for about 10 days or so. So I think I'll wait and take advantage of some of those Boxing Day deals down in Vancouver. So
I bought a bathrobe at the Bay today.
Oh, very nice.
$20.
Ooh. The Bay downtown? I want to see the Olympics. I haven't seen the Olympics story.
It's crap.
Oh, well.
It really is. I didn't like it.
I have to get my red mittens.
I didn't like it. Awesome. Jeff Sargent. Jeff, stay on the line there. Thank you so much for doing this, and we'll talk to you soon.
Sounds good, Daryl. Thanks.
All right, everybody. We're going to take a quick break. You're listening to Wiener's Barbecue on 101.9 FM, CITR Radio, Vancouver, Canada.
I'm going to be around my vegetables. I'm going to chop down my vegetables. I love you most of all, my favorite vegetable.
Sprouts. It's your 75-cent coffee fix in the sub. It's your source for reasonably priced, creatively named stew and vegan brownies. It's your purveyor of bicycle-delivered local produce. It's also a place where volunteers can realize their vision of responsible business and where like-minded students can explore UBC's food systems. Hark! Sprouts is currently accepting applications for next year's executive board and is encouraging ambitious, creative, and disciplined students from all faculties and year levels to apply. Come by Sprouts in the sub-basement to learn more about our projects and how to get involved.
I tried to kick the ball, but my tinny flew right off. I'm red as a bee, 'cause I'm so embarrassed.
Walking alone at night can be scary.
Stop right there, student. Why walk alone when you can call SafeWalk? The safety and comfort of everyone on campus is important. That's why we're here.
SafeWalk is a free, student-run foot patrol service with two-person co-ed teams that will meet you and accompany you anywhere on campus to make sure you get there safely.
Keep an eye out for our bright red reflective jackets and signature foot logo, and let your next walk be with us.
What a huge relief! Now I'll never have to worry about the terrors that could happen when walking through such a big campus at night.
For a walk, you can call 604-822-5355. Use one of our direct line phones located in some of the campus libraries. Use one of the big blue phone booths. Or even ask campus security to contact us.
If you see walkers around campus and you'd like them to accompany you, stop and ask.
This boy and girl coming home from school look quite content with life. And why not? They're looking forward to an important date. Dinner at home with the family. What's the matter? Doesn't that sound exciting to you?
Luckily, UBC students have lots of on-campus dining options.
Bernoulli's Bagels, serving up authentic Montreal-style bagels made fresh daily on the premises, in addition to sandwiches, soups, squealers, calzones, and freshly squeezed juice. Bernoulli's is located on the main concourse of the sub and open Monday through Saturday. This business is owned and operated by the AMS, your student society. Hey, as far as I'm concerned, my turn
to food. CITR is super popular. We've partnered with great local businesses to bring all our friends discounts in their communities. Say you like to kick it in kits. Show your friends of CITR card at Canterbury Tales Secondhand Books, Rufus's Guitar Shop, Prussian Music, The Eatery, Grindhouse Video, Fresh's Best Salsa & Co., Roy Shoes Limited, Vaz Boutique, Sage Natural Wellness, Gumdrops, Spank Shoes, Banyan Books, and the UBC Bike Kitchen, and save. So become a CITR member, get a free friends card, and feel the love.
Well, I want to be your old lover. I want to be your man. I want you to understand.
Welcome back to Wiener's Barbecue here on 101.9 FM, CITR Radio, Vancouver, Canada, every Tuesday from 4:30 to 6 p.m. With us on the line, assistant coach of the UBC Thunderbird men's basketball team, Vern Knopp. Vern, I'm confused with your athletic department right now.
Uh-oh.
They've delayed the football interviews until the new year. They're supposed to be tomorrow for the new head coach, and they've now delayed those until the new year.
Really?
Which I initially thought wasn't a big deal. And then I went around and I was calling some people, and apparently you want to get, you know, a new coach in place, especially in football, because, you know, no offense, I know you're basketball guys, but you have a lot less guys to recruit in basketball than football, right?
Yes,
you do. Probably you've got, what, 5% as many to recruit as they do? Doesn't matter. Anyways, apparently, though, that UBC was taking the 4 to 5 weeks. That was about as long as you're supposed to take. I mean, that's the long end in the acceptable period. Now they've delayed it for another 3 weeks because one of the candidates couldn't be here for the interview tomorrow.
Okay.
Is there such thing as a webcam?
I guess there is, yeah.
Does a telephone exist? Vern, what's going on? What can you tell me?
Well, yeah, it's new to me. I haven't really been following the hiring of the football coach. With that said, I think if you have a candidate that wants to that you're interviewing to take over such a elite position, I guess you could say, or high profile position, I would think it would behoove you to come in, have that person come in and do a face to face interview. You know, doing it over the phone or a webcam, I guess maybe I'm just old-fashioned that way. I would kind of, you know, agree with them on that sense that you want to see the person face-to-face. It's a little easier to get to know them better, see their mannerisms, see different things because, you know, you're going to be paying, you know, that person's going to be well-paid and you're going to expect to take that program to the next level. So I think it would be important. With that said, I am shocked that they're waiting till the new year because I do agree with you as far as it's definitely going to put that new coach behind the eight ball when it comes to recruiting. I know back, 10 years ago when Coach Hansen got hired, I believe he got hired in April, which for basketball standards is pretty tough. You know, he was already behind when he took the job as far as recruiting goes, and it really set him back probably a couple of years as far as trying to rebuild that program. So it will definitely be tough for the new coach that comes in.
Yeah, there you go. And then I'm just saying, the other coaches who are applying for the position puts them in a tough spot, too, waiting another 3 weeks, right?
Yeah, it does. But, you know, I think it's a job that is pretty pretty popular, and a lot of people would, I guess for lack of a better expression, it would kill to have that kind of job. So I think for those candidates, I think, you know, if it means them having an opportunity job, I think it will be worth the wait for them.
I wouldn't kill anybody to have it. I wouldn't do that, Vern.
Well, you know, that's what I said.
I'm very upset that you'd even think some people would kill somebody to have that.
Oh, Daryl, you're just way too sentimental there.
There you go. With us on the line, Vern Knopp from the UBC coaching staff. Vern, I want to get your opinion. You know, we're sort of at that point in the year with UBC where nothing's going on now. You know, we had the head coaching football position, and I really got into that one for a good 45 minutes there, okay?
Wow, yep.
So that's done, and I even got you to talk. I even got Milandragasevic to get to talk about it. I was going into anybody. We're going to go mainstream media here, okay?
Okay.
Are you ready?
I'm ready.
I want your thoughts on Tiger. Did you see what came out today?
I heard on the you listen to sports radio all day long.
Isn't
so,
that juicy? This is juicy. I mean, Vern, you know, go ahead.
Just when you think it couldn't get any worse for Tiger, it just does. It's just amazing how in the last 3 weeks how it's an incredible fall from grace, and it's going to be an interesting next few weeks, probably a few months, until he decides to play again. I mean, the latest I'm hearing is that he's going to be probably taking at least a year off now. And wow, I don't know what else to say. It's been an incredible fall.
So hold on, you're talking about the report that is his this doctor got arrested with drugs, right?
Canadian doctor.
Canadian doctor. Now, they're not saying he treated Tiger with these drugs. Tiger's people are denying that they ever even met the guy. Mm-hmm. But, man, and here's another report I just saw. The shame golfer is said to be terrified that his wife is about to dump him and take their two children to live with her in native Sweden. Where Tiger is just in such a mess here is he not only has the sports media covering the story, he's got the women, because of the adultery, are all covering, you know, the Oprah crowd will say, are covering this story. You've got the worldwide media is covering the story. He kind of has done it in sort of like a down news time of the year, like December, just before Christmas, after Thanksgiving in the States. You know what I mean? Like, he's done it in that time period. And, you know, it's just the most remarkable thing. And what I remember is, you know, getting up, it was my buddy's birthday the night before the car accident. And I got up. I was extremely hungover on a weekday. And there was the report on the news that Tiger Woods has been in a serious car accident. Remember that?
Yep.
And then who would have thought it just spiraled into this?
It was first they just thought it was alcohol related, and then that was really the least of his worries. In hindsight, it just kind of, like I said, it just all blew up. And I guess professional athletes, you know, people in general, just out of all lifestyles, just don't learn their lessons. I guess everybody feels eventually they're invincible. And as you found out nowadays with media, with internet and everything, it's almost impossible to cover anything up.
But, you know, Tiger was a guy, though, who before this scandal broke, he was a guy who could cover it up, you wonder. You wonder if he's a guy who the media would see something happen and they wouldn't say it. You know, either they were intimidated or they knew, hey, this is Tiger, we're not going to go there. That's over now for him. Forever, really. Forever, that's over now.
Well, a guy that had so much kind of money, you're hearing stories now how he paid off certain people.
Vern, you're talking about how the National Enquirer had him having sex in the church parking lot or something like that?
There's something regarding, not that part, but just how he's had stories that were going to come out on him.
Oh, really? Just,
hush money to keep it quiet, just regarding some of his infidelities before and everything. But now you're hearing stuff that maybe he was addicted to painkillers, had some drinking issues, which
I have no problem
with that. Maybe the steroid issues are something to be true, right? Maybe that some of steroids has been linked to having anger management problems too, right? Like it just seems like it's just one thing after another now, and it's going to be kind of interesting to see. I mean, I think sure if people aren't sick of it now, it's only going to get worse, but it's going to be kind of interesting to see the fallout from it. Whether his sponsor, now there's talk that some sponsors are leaving, but there's also the main ones are saying, well, they want to hang on because when he comes back, you know, it's the old adage, you know, any press is good press kind of thing, right? So it's sure going to be interesting to watch over the next few months how this all comes together.
Well, what I love about the U.S. culture is this thing, and they're better than us in this thing. I like this, is they love to watch a guy who's at the top get beaten down, right?
Mm-hmm.
They love that. But once he's beaten down, they love to see him come back. That's the U.S. culture right there. Pop culture, whatever, celebrity. The U.S. loves that story.
Without a doubt.
That's where they're better people than us that way.
Yeah. Well, it's different too, though, right? We remember we grew up admiring and idolizing Wayne Gretzky.
Yeah.
And what has Wayne Gretzky done in his career that's been so bad? Nothing.
No.
You know, like, it's just, you know, it's a different era too, but it's, you know, yeah, Canadians are, it's, yeah, the media especially is so much different than down there, but it's, you know, it's huge news in the sporting world when CNN's covering it as well, so.
Well, this is worldwide. I guess the question, and then we'll move on. Vern, you're sick of the story. See, I'm not even sick of it yet.
You know, I'm not really, I don't follow it that much.
No, neither do I.
I think it's kind of funny in some ways, because I've never been a huge Tiger Woods fan to begin with.
Yeah.
And it's just, you know, it's people always have ghosts in their closet, it seems like, and his just blew up. I mean, when Jordan went through all these problems, his career was already over as far as his marital problems and everything. But when you really think about it, you just, you know, I was reading it today, you just, yeah, in the Sports Illustrated magazine, how the comparisons to Jordan and Tiger Woods are so much alike as far as their age. When they had, remember, Jordan left the NBA for that 1 year because there was issues above gambling issues, right? You know, the parallels are just uncanny, really.
Yeah, and the last one with Tiger, and you mentioned it, you're not a huge Tiger Woods fan. Is that another thing that's sort of gone on here with Tiger? Is he was never like a lovable guy at all, personality wise, and now that's kind of coming back to bite him, sort of like people are kind, you know, like
Just listen to his interviews. Jim Rome still always does mock him as far as, you know, his interviews were so prepared and just it was not like he didn't come across as just being honest. It was just always he was so robotic kind of thing. Yeah. And you know, I'm a guy that's preferred a guy like Phil Mickelson, who's just kind of, you know, tall, out of shape, kind of, you know, bit of a belly, but just, you know, plays to the people, right? He'd always just say what was on his mind, and that was that. And Tiger was always just kind of, you know, like his caddy the 1 year, freaking out over people snapping pictures while he's taking a swing and going after people. Like, I'm like, you're a professional athlete. You should be able to, you know, put that stuff out of your mind kind of thing, right?
So. I'm a John Daly fan, too. You got to like John Daly.
why am I not shocked?
You gotta like John Daly.
Wow, that's another piece of work right there.
But
he's a train wreck too. So,
but he's not hiding it, Vern.
Oh, but you know, you got to know John Daly sitting in the background, just loving every minute of this, because he with Tiger's indiscretions are nowhere near what John Daly was doing. So I think it's pretty funny, actually.
But it's another one, too, is, you know, one thing that, you know, Tiger, he's not a normal person. Never has been. He's been this celebrity since he was, what, 4 years old, pretty much?
Yeah.
You know, I think he was on, like, Bob Hope or something at that age. And, you know, he's a corporation. That's the other thing. And he's not a normal person. But I guess the thing is, too, is when you are a corporation, he can't act like normal people either, you know.
Again, it goes to the Michael Jordan comparison, right? He's a product of Nike.
Yeah.
And, you know, they're the biggest sports marketing thing out there. It's just they build these guys up larger than life. And when it all comes tumbling down, it's, you know, everybody likes a car crash, a train wreck, right? It's the same thing. People are in a car wreck and people are always slowing down to take a look. And, you know, it's just the way the world is these days.
Larry Bird, did they ever find anything on him?
Larry Bird actually did have
what
they found out after he had at least, I think, one or maybe two children through. But I don't think he was married at the time. He was just, you know, those were things that came up after the fact. But they weren't infidelities, from what I understand. It was just while he was going through, I don't know, through his university or through the NBA, that he did have at least one child out of wedlock for sure.
Okay, I'm a Bird fan, just so you know.
Yeah, I think I am as well. So
there you go. Let's talk NFL. Vern, I had the show. It's non-UBC sports time here, and you happened to be on to talk about that with me.
Yep.
You did it. I'm on to the NFL. Vern, I'm going to see if you can tell me what team plays this song after they score a touchdown, okay?
Oh, boy.
All right. No, this is the best one I've ever heard. They got the best... Best DJ. Can you do it?
Oh. Okay. Ah! Oh. Hey, I'm trying to get crumb.
You got it?
I'm guessing it happened. You heard it this weekend, so I'm just trying to think.
No, I heard it last week.
I don't know. San Diego Chargers? I don't know.
New Orleans Saints.
Really? Wow. Yeah,
Get
wow.
Crunk by the Yin Yang Twins. It's like an obscure song.
No, I don't think I've ever heard of them, so I don't really listen to the songs in the background too often.
They do that every time they score a touchdown.
Wow.
They play the Yin Yang Twins' Get Crunk, and you can find it on YouTube. My buddy was at the game, the Monday Nighter. He actually went to the Monday Nighter, Saints Patriots, and he said when they scored a touchdown, people are dancing to that song.
Well, they've had a lot of reason to dance, too, because they've been scoring a lot of touchdowns this year. So.
All right, let's just do that. I just, you know, Get Crunk. Now you know. That's the New Orleans Saints touchdown song. They got the best DJ in sports in the world. New Orleans 26-23 winners over Atlanta. The Falcons try to tie it up at the end. But how about these Saints 13-0, hey? I mean, it just keeps happening.
Yeah, it does. But, you know, I'm a Colts fan, so I'm more excited about their being 13-0, just the way Peyton Manning's done it with a lot less offensive weapons than Drew Brees has, without a doubt.
What do you think? He's got Reggie Wayne. He's got a die.
Yeah, but then you compare it to, Brees has Colston, Jeremy Shockey, Robert Meacham is turning into a stud. He's got two, three running backs that have been successful for them, and Bush and Pierre and Mike Bell. So, I mean, they can't take anything away from the Saints. They've been, early in the year, they were blowing everybody out, and now they're winning the close games, and it's definitely going to be exciting over the next few weeks to watch the two teams play.
What's the Saints touchdown song?
The Colts, mean?
The Colts, yeah.
I don't think they play music after this.
Yeah,
score.
No.
That team is so bland. They don't celebrate after touchdowns. They just, Annie pumps his fist in the air, and they kind of just run to the sidelines, and that's pretty much about it with that
team. So you're conceding that New Orleans has a better sound DJ there?
Oh, I would say so, yeah.
Okay.
I think that city just knows how to party anyway. So there's no comparison between New Orleans and Indianapolis as far as that goes.
So as an Indy fan, the big question, as an Indy fan,
yeah.
3 weeks to go now, the question starts popping up, obviously, the rest question.
And I totally believe they will, and I agree with it, rest the starters. Not to the point where they don't play in the games, but I think, I would be surprised if Manning plays any games now past halftime. I mean, you kind of want to stay crisp for the playoffs, but that team's been so experienced winning their division, winning their conference, where they know they have the bye week, they've been there before. I think they can afford to rest guys more, where a team like New Orleans, really the first time they've been in this situation, I think it would be to their benefit to play their guys a little bit more. But when you're 15-0, yeah, the record 16-0, it's been there, done that now with the Patriots. It doesn't mean anything unless you win the Super Bowl, and I think both those teams kind of know that. And you'd be kicking yourself if you play a Drew Brees or one of their top players or on either team or Peyton Manning in the last week or two, and they get hurt, and your season's over. And that's really one of those two teams. They lose their quarterback, they're done. Just like the Patriots were a year ago, losing Brady. Matt Castle was okay, but they still didn't make the playoffs, right? So records are all fine and dandy, but the bottom line is you want to win the Super Bowl.
One of the mysteries of life questions going on right now, and it happened again on Sunday at home: the Dallas Cowboys in December under Tony Romo.
Wow.
It's one of those things. It's like a roulette or a blackjack streak. You're like, it can't keep happening, but it just does.
Yeah, and in fairness to Romo, he played not this week, but the week before against the Giants. His numbers were ridiculous. They dominated in every facet of the game except for not putting up touchdowns. And again, they played a tough team in San Diego who's the exact opposite. They don't lose in December.
They've won 16 in a row in December, crazy like that, right?
And with that said, I think that just comes down to now with whether they've changed players over the years. It comes down to one thing, and that's the coaching staff. I think Wade Phillips has just shown over the years now an inability to have that team ready to play in the most meaningful games, whether it's December or come January in the playoffs. And it's, I think that's, ultimately, that's what's going to happen. It's going to cost him his job, and you can't really argue with it. They need to get someone in there that has more of a winning attitude. And Wade Phillips, he's been a good defensive coordinator over the years, but as a head coach, he's never really won anything, and that makes a big difference.
I want to go right back to the AFC, Vernon, and I want to use you here as the Colts fan. It's a good perspective. Which one of these teams, and you can even say as many as you want, who scares you in the playoffs here? San Diego, I don't care what you say, that the Patriots are...
If I'm a Colts fan?
Yeah, who's scaring you? Who's scaring you in
the
playoffs?
The Chargers.
The Patriots aren't scaring you in the playoffs?
You know what? The Patriots, you can make the case the last two times, last time they played, the Patriots should have won the game, but the bottom line is they didn't put the game away. They gave a chance for Manning to win, and that's what Manning does. And their record, I think, is the Colts are something like 5-6 the last few times they've played them. I just love watching the Patriots and Colts play because they always just seem to be classic games. But the Chargers have beaten the Colts, knocked them out of the playoffs the last two times they've played. They've beat them 5 out of the last 6 times. For whatever reason, that defense just seems to have Manning, they give Manning problems. And the Colts, whether they're at home or on the road against San Diego, just seem to struggle with that. It's always funny in sports where some teams just seem to have your number, and that's what it seems to happen there.
Yeah, well, so that as a Colts fan, you're more worried about the Chargers than the Patriots, eh?
Yep, and what's going to be interesting is that if the playoffs end the way it should be, it looks like the Colts are going to be, well, the Colts are the number one seed. Patriots will probably, if everybody runs the tables the way they will be, San Diego will be the number two, Cincy the three, and probably New England number four, and that would match up if New England wins their first round game. They'll be going to Baltimore and play, or to Indy and play, and it's going to be a tough road for Indy if those are the matchups, because it's, you know, first they got to host New England. If teams win according to the seedings, I'm obviously, which that can change, but then if they win that and San Diego holds court, then it's San Diego coming to Indianapolis for the AFC Championship.
I'm sure
now, that said, anything can happen in the playoffs, as we know, but it's going to be a tough road for any team in the playoffs, but even for the Colts.
You think the NFL would be pretty happy to get a New England Indy round two matchup, eh?
Oh, no question. I mean, even myself as an Indy fan, the chances of the Patriots being all their mistake, there's three Super Bowls. As a fan, how could you not want to watch that game? They all win or lose with the Colts. They always just seem to play classic games with the Patriots.
NFC, the Vikings had a little blip in Arizona a couple weeks ago. They got it done though against the Bengals at home this week. They are now 11-2. The Saints, as we mentioned, 13-0. The fun division, though, is definitely, as always, really, in the National Football League NFC Conference, is the NFC East. The Giants in playing the Eagles on what had to be one of the, I'm not going to say greatest, but more wild Sunday night football games.
Crazy.
You will see. The Cowboys, as we mentioned, 8-5. Philly, 9-4. What's fun about these teams is, the Giants' secondary has fallen to pieces, so I doubt they're going to be able to get it done in the playoffs. But, Philly, that's my team here. Philly, their team, I don't think they're definitely not going to be favored, but they do have it in them that on any given day, they can beat any team in the league, this Eagles team.
No question. Their record since Andy Reid's been there really speaks for itself. They've been the NFC conference times, I think, five times now, and unfortunately the record's not very good come that game.
One and four.
They got to the Super Bowl once, and we all know what happened there, but they're a fun team to watch. DeSean Jackson has just been absolutely amazing this year. If McNabb's healthy, he gives them a great chance to win. I just don't know if they can go into New Orleans and or Minnesota. And I mean, in a one game thing, sure, anybody can win, but I think Minnesota was just a blip on the radar screen, the loss to Arizona. And we saw how Arizona lost to San Fran last night. Pretty tough to beat right now, Minnesota and New Orleans, going into, especially in the dome where it's going to be really loud for all those teams.
I think what's great about these playoffs, then, Vernon, what's great, and thanks so much for doing this, what's great about these playoffs this year is, you've got the Saints and the Colts undefeated at 13-0, but everybody will agree, it's going to be a pretty wide-open playoff in both conferences.
Yeah,
it's kind of weird. You've got it's not like the Patriots, say, 2 years ago, or when you knew the Patriots are going to be playing the Colts in the AFC Championship game. It's going to be a wide-open playoff in both conferences, although you have two 13-0 teams. That's kind of fun.
You know what? Yeah, it has been a crazy year, but playoffs, like 2 years ago, the Giants, they were the road team for all the playoffs, and Eli led them on the road three consecutive times, and actually, I guess it ended up being four with the Super Bowl, and come playoffs and one-game playoff, anything can happen, and I think this year's been an unbelievable year with the Colts and Saints playing the way they have, but having the number one seed has shown over the years that it doesn't always mean you get an automatic trip to the Super Bowl.
Vern Knopp from UBC Thunderbird men's basketball team talking football and Tiger Woods with me today. Vern, you think any Tiger Woods, anything's come up in the last half hour since we started talking?
Well, considering it's already 9 p.m. Eastern time, I think it'll be it for today.
Oh, he's closed for the night, eh?
Yeah, unless he decides to get in his SUV again at 2:30 in the morning. So other than that, I think we'll be okay. But I haven't got bored of the Tiger jokes, that's for sure. I think there's been some pretty good ones.
I love how when he first did it, people were actually saying, I remember the news report, well, Tiger is known to go to the gym at 1:30 in the morning.
Yeah, well, I think he's probably, hopefully he's got his own home gym right now, because I don't think he's going to be leaving his house anytime soon.
Oh, man. It is fun. Mike, are you? Thanks for doing this, bro. Very much appreciate it. And remember, get crunk. That's the
Sounds good.
The Saints a better team than the Colts.
Sounds good.
Thanks, Vern. Mike with Fletcher Head coming on right after me. Mike, how you doing today?
I'm doing fine.
You're doing fine?
Yeah.
It's kind of like the downtime here for UBC Thunderbird Sports. But at the end there, my last guest, we got into the Tiger Woods story. He didn't want to talk. He kind of laughed when I brought it up. I, you know, whatever.
Well, it's just like gossip and... It's tabloid kind of journalism.
At its finest and worst at the same time.
It's a great train wreck to watch. Because that's basically what it is. It's not really sports related. It's more personal.
But where he's screwed is you've got the sports fans following it. You've got the Oprah crowd following it. It's worldwide news.
Everybody's following because everybody knows who he is.
Yeah.
And everyone's got their opinion on him now.
More came out today.
Yeah.
You saw with the doctor.
The doctor and this he got caught with the enhancing drugs. And now that the big debate is whether or not it actually benefits golfers if you use these now.
Oh, you can't do it. You can't do it.
Well.
You can't do it.
They're trying to link it to the injury he had and him coming back faster.
We don't even know he was on the stuff.
No, I know, right? But that's what they're trying to do
and
now.
And that's the beauty of this, is this doctor got arrested, and the doctor said he treated Tiger Woods for his knee injury. They, like, called him in to do it 3 or 4 times.
Yeah.
That's the whole story.
I know, but everyone's just trying to link it to something else. They're trying to make more of what it actually is.
All right. Okay, everybody. Mike with Fletcher Head coming up right now. We're going to end the show today with an ode to the greatest sports DJ in the world, the New Orleans Saints DJ, who after every time they score a touchdown, they play a little, you know, obscure hip-hop song by the Ying Yang Twins called Get Crunk. And the people in the stands actually will dance to it. They do. That's why he is the king among men, is the DJ for the Saints games.
That's one of Chicago Blackhawks' goal scoring.
What do they do? What do they do again?
It's by the Fratellis.
Oh, okay. And we'll do that next week.
Very danceable song.
Really?
It is insanely fun.
All right. Okay, here's this one. You can be the judge of this one, all right?
All right.
And this is after touchdown. So, you know, it's like after the extra point, they play it. So there's like sort of time in between.
Yeah.
A lot of time they'll go to commercial and everything. So this is it. And the Saints fans dance to this. And all right, we'll go back to the Blackhawk guy later. Okay. Yep. Thanks for listening. Have a great day, everybody.
Oh. Okay. Ah! Oh. Hey, I'm trying to get crunk.
C-R-U-E. Tell them how we gonna come. Tell them why they don't hold on. Tell them why they better run.
We came to get crunk, won't stop.
Nope.
We keep on coming close.
We won't quit.
That's why we keep bringing hits.
We drop in everything you pop in. From the Ying Yang Twins again. Oh. To make your adrenaline pump right on through your skin and make that crunk again. They were playing a demon, but we came all back. So we went to win. We jumped out like a jack in the box. I'm like an addict with a fat dude sack in my sock. Tell them how we gonna go. Tell them why they don't wanna.